This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to Marketing for the Now. I'm Andrea Sullivan, the CMO of VaynerX, and I am here with Gary. Gary, I loved your podcast this morning with Mark.
Thank you. Yes, lots of interesting insights to the metaverse.
For sure. Made for a good run this morning.
Thank you.
But let's get going. We got one question, as you know. What adjustments will you make as a leader heading into 2022? We've got a phenomenal lineup. And first up, we've got Mindy Grossman. She is a business icon, entrepreneur, mother, fashion enthusiast, and a self-proclaimed accidental CEO. I want to hear a little bit more about that. Mindy is the president and CEO for WW, which was formerly known as Weight Watchers, where she leads thousands of employees in 10 markets to serve millions of members around the world. Welcome, Mindy.
Great to be here. Always with Gary.
Mindy, it's so nice to have you. Wanted to kick it off with you specifically, so thank you for your time because I know you're busy. How have you been?
We all are. I've been good. Uh-huh. You know, we just launched our probably most revolutionary innovation, food program innovation last Monday. So very focused on kind of where we're taking things and how we're impacting people. So it's been exciting for the team.
I love it. Well, listen, let's get right into it because we already only have 8 minutes. You know, as you think back to the last couple of years, COVID, obviously you just spoke about the innovation you're doing with your revolutionary product. And you can go very narrow, just set up the context. You know, I really do think you have one of the great executive careers out there and are admired by so many people that I interact with. So I'm curious to see where you're going to take this. I'll just read it as it is. What adjustments will you be making as a leader in 2022?
So I think that there are three things from a leadership perspective I've really been thinking about. One of the biggest takeaways is that every one of us over the past 18 months has been doing a radical reassessment of what we value, who we value, the value of our time, and the value of our impact. And that goes for both our business lives and our personal lives. So I think as leaders, we have to realize that everyone else is going through this, that being more discerning than ever about the companies that they want to be part of and what they want to work for. And so for us, being maniacally focused on our purpose,
yes,
around democratizing wellness, helping people transform their lives. And like at a very high level, you know, how are we going to change the health trajectory of the world? And I think that's what motivates people to want to be part of WW, and it's the core of our culture. So, you know, I think of my role is how do I ensure that everything we do and every decision we make aligns with both financial impact and human impact. The second thing, and Gary, this is very much what you talk about. As a leader, we have to embrace vulnerability as a strength. So I, what people may have thought of as a weakness, particularly in women, right, is now a prerequisite for enlightened leadership. I think empathy, being real, being honest. And what's interesting is I think empathy can be a driver of innovation because when people feel secure, they're more willing to take risks. And 100%. It's really important. And I think nobody espouses this more than you, the idea of kindness as a superpower.
I really believe it. I think, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I do, the elimination of fear, right? Empathy is one of the ingredients, but in the macro, the elimination of fear leads to massive innovation, speed. You know, when you're not scared, if you're out of the loop, if you weren't invited to a meeting, it means you can do a different meeting and get more shit done. Speed.
Yeah. I could not, you know, fear is inertia and we can't afford that today. And I think the other thing that's really important, and it goes back with how you lead, is this idea of resilience. You know, how do you stay focused and at the same time block out the negative noise of the now, possibly, and stay focused forward? And, you know, if you think of the change that we have all gone through over this period of time, we have to be agile. We have to be in constant listening mode. We have to, you know, marry curiosity almost as an obsession with data and speed. And that's what we've really been tried to be focused on. And to do that, you have to have a trusting, agile organization, because rigid structures, and you just said that, is a thing of the past. And how do you have this quick thinking informed by the combination of gut and data and listening to, for us, listening to our members, listening to our employees?
Do you think intuition is underrated?
Yes.
You said gut. Go ahead. Break that down for me a little bit.
You know, look, I am the biggest believer in data-driven outcomes and thought, but you have to marry that to understanding the core of human elements and everything else that, you know, it's kind of the, what's the next wave of data going to be? And you also have to balance that with where are you going to take the risk on that intuition. But if you put the two of them together, you have a validation and it allows you to move quickly. But at the same time, what I tell the organization, and this goes back to no fear, if something's not working, identify it immediately and make the changes. Don't put it behind, you know, the curtain, right? And it's empowering people to both take risk and be honest when something's not working. And I think that's really critical.
What about accountability? How do you think about that as a leader?
I think it's one of the most important attributes of leadership.
When you were coming up the game, who most caught your attention? Like, this is, I like giving out roses. Hopefully they're still with us, but if they're not, I hope their family sees this. If I asked you, I mean, you've had this iconic career, obviously your family and friends and environment and DNA, but truly the serendipity of you working somewhere, who was either the first leader or the one that made the most impact on your leadership? Where'd you meet them? Who were they?
So I would say I've been very fortunate, Gary, because for the most part, I've only worked for entrepreneurs, right? Mm. And I think a lot of that informed how I thought and, you know, what my capacity for risk and everything else was. But I would say working for Phil Knight for 6 years had a tremendous impact on me, both around culture and vision and tenacity and what you meant as a brand and your connection with people. But I also worked for Barry Diller, right? Mm-hmm. Which was ultimate accountability, right? And you had to have toughness and resolve to state your position. And you had to-
Or you got ran over?
And you had to own it. Mm. You had to-
Accountability.
And you know, I worked for Ralph Lauren, you know, as far as the power of brand and making the decisions for a purpose filter that was really critical. And as much as they are incredibly different and unique individuals, right? The reason why they are who they are is because the power of belief and what they stood for and not having a short-term mentality.
Mm. I love it. Well, Mindy, it is really great to see you. I hope you have a great holiday, and I hope that you helped some leaders here today.
Thank you. Always great.
Andrea, before we move on, Tyler Sanders, I saw your comment come through. Whatever happened to the book sale NFTs, Gary? I spent a lot of money at Barnes & Nobles. Good news, Tyler. You probably should have gotten an email from Barnes & Nobles. Check your spam filter. The book got pushed back 2 weeks. Here it is. The book has been pushed back by 2 weeks and even a little bit more in some markets because of the global logistics issues of actually printing and supplying. And I think we've all seen that. But the NFT drop is still scheduled for late December, thinking Christmas holiday gift. Go into the Discord. I'm posting it all over the place on social. But what has happened is everything's on track. I was originally going to probably do it December 15th after the books were in the system. I'll probably do it a little bit closer to Christmas, the drop. I'll definitely do it this year. And so I just wanted to give that public service announcement, Andrea, to all the many that bought the book.
Yes, we can't wait for it. Thank you, Gary.
Team is taking away the rest, so I'll see all of you. But everybody, please stick around. Tons of major, major leaders coming up next.
Excellent. All right, let's bring Jonathan Murtau on the stage. Welcome,
hello.
Jonathan.
Hello.
Jonathan is our SVP of Client Services in Vayner out in 72 and sunny LA. Is it 72 and sunny, Jonathan?
It literally is that temperature.
Oh, yes. My goodness. I guess that's why we can see that beam of sunlight on the top of your head. That's gorgeous.
I tried to get rid of it. Sorry.
And the amazing thing is that Jonathan has the great honor of interviewing Jessica Jensen, who is the CMO of Indeed. Jessica is responsible for brand communication, product acquisition, and experience marketing globally. We should say, what is she not responsible for? We so welcome both of you, Jonathan and Jessica. Take it away.
Awesome. Hi, Jessica.
Hello, Jonathan. It's delightful to see you.
Likewise, and I'm just going to start by saying what a great segue from Gary talking about some major people, because if people don't know, and I'm fortunate to call you a friend, you have a knack for being at pretty interesting companies at pretty interesting times, and I'll rattle off your career at a little place called Apple, Yahoo, Facebook, and I love the question, and those are just in the past, right? But this is marketing for the now. And I love the question that we have for you today, because you are, again, to your timeliness of being at amazing places at amazing times. You can't look at the news without reading about what's going on in employment and in the job market and the great resignation, and jobs are up, jobs are down. Nobody can find people to hire. Everyone's rethinking their careers. You're the CMO of Indeed, which is the world's largest job site, right? So I'm just going to start before we get into the actual question about, like, for you, the meaningfulness of being at this moment in time at Indeed and what that's like for you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's marvelous and an honor and challenging. I mean, we are in a complete upheaval in the labor market. And people, as you said, they are reassessing what matters to them and what kind of work they're willing to do for what pay in what industries. And COVID has devastated working women and women in the workplace. We've seen a giant retreat of women. So we have 250 million people who come to Indeed every month looking for jobs. And so we're servicing truck drivers, nurses, accountants, engineers, all over the world. So it's remarkably complex and exciting and a real honor. I mean, our mission is to help people get jobs, and we wake up every morning to do that. And that's in Germany, India, Australia, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and everywhere in between. So it's an honor and a responsibility.
Yeah. It's amazing. All right. So, our question is, it's heading into 2022, but this isn't about adjusting from 2021 question. This is adjusting from March of last year question.
Oh yeah.
Right? So this is the long march into next year. So the question is, what adjustments, Jessica, are you going to be making as a leader when you think about heading into 2022?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think what Mindy and Gary were talking about in terms of empathy and kindness are at the top of my mind. I'll start by talking about what I'm thinking about for the team and for myself, and then a little bit about the business. People are so burned out. They are so crispy fried, dealing with personal challenges, being on video for work 72 hours a day, juggling uncertainty and pain. I have a coach who the other day said, people have so much unprocessed grief about the last 2 years, and yet they continue to work.
You just have to keep showing up on this.
Just keep showing up, right? Yeah. So I'm really attuned to how we as a team support each other, care for each other. And that means reducing workload. I think marketers are people who love to please people, right? We should do this. Let's put on a show. Let's launch this campaign. I mean, marketers are inherently hungry to do and to please. And so I'm really trying to work with the team on one in, one out, or one in, two out. What are we going, if we're going to do something new, we need to reduce other things. And are we being religious about assessing these programs we've done 2-3 years that are good, they're good, they're not bad, but are they really worth the effort relative to other things? And trying to be very cognizant that people's cups are too full, they are overflowing, and we can't keep putting more you know, water in the glass.
So how do you, Mindy and Gary were talking about fear, right? And the freedom of work of getting out of that place. So with what you're saying, how do you reduce the fear and take the fear out of the equation for people who are like, wait, are you sure? Like, how am I going to be about, you know what I mean? Like, do less and focus.
I mean, I try to celebrate every reduction, every failure. Like, hey, we tried that. We tried that thing on TikTok. That was fun. Yielded nothing. As one, you know, I mean, like let's have the confidence and the excitement to try things and then kill them.
Yeah.
Programs that we've run for years that are just kind of bedrock. Well, have they run their course? That's okay.
Yeah. Yep. Getting rid of the sacred cows.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So continue.
And then I would say on the business and the more marketing business front, we are, of course, trying to find workers who are in transition or have backed out of the workforce or don't want to work in restaurants anymore. And so we have to be much more creative about where we engage workers of different stripes and sizes and types. And so that's really pushing our creativity and working with you all on highly iterative digital assets targeted at different audiences and getting really expert at that. And we're also working on brand performance, trying to drive brand and performance marketing together. I've worked at a number of companies where brand is kind of this emotional, beautiful storytelling, and then performance is like search and quant, you know, stuff. And we really, I believe we can drive those messages and experiences together and make emotionally moving ads and campaigns that also have real measurable impact on the business.
Yeah.
So that's a big focus for us.
And then just as a leader, I mean, your bio talks about being, you know, having high performance teams, but I know high performance Jessica, you know, and you have a husband and a daughter and a very full life. What are you going to be doing for yourself to fuel your batteries?
Thank you for asking that. That's a very generous question. I have to say I have reached the end of my human tolerance for being on video 10 hours a day. I love being with people, and, you know, 2 years of video, thank God for video. It's allowed us to do incredible things. But I'm doing walking meetings now. I'm making sure that I get into nature, and I'm a big hiker. And you know, my daughter's in middle school now, and the emotional needs are blossoming.
Yes. So, as they do,
riding the waves of that.
Yeah.
So trying to make sure that I'm here for her as well. But I am definitely trying to get off screens more, and I am dying to go back to the office at least a couple of days a week because I have to hug people, and I am vaccinated.
Yeah, love it, awesome. I'm glad that we covered that.
Just want to make everybody comfortable.
Amazing. All right. Thank you so much.
Jonathan, every moment with you is a delight. Thank you.
Likewise. And I hope, if anything, people take away what Gary and Mindy talked about, what Jessica talked about, and is the importance of removing that fear from people to get to the good work, right? Because leaders like Jessica and Mindy remove that obstacle. Like, that's when the magic happens. And such a privilege to talk to you about it.
Thanks.
So true. Thanks, you guys. Wonderful. Next up, we welcome Vanessa Vining. She is the VaynerX Chief Diversity Officer and pretty kick-ass, I might add. We also welcome the president of Amer ICANN Foundation, Monique Brown. Monique is an educator, television and film producer, philanthropist, wife, and mother. She is president of the Amer ICANN Foundation for Social Change, which teaches critical life skills to everyone from youth in underserved schools to community leaders to NFL teams and coaches. Welcome, Monique and Vanessa.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Monique. First of all, thank you for joining us today. Super glad to have you here for this conversation. Andrea covered a little bit about some of your work and journey as the president of American. I know, you know, you have a long list of accomplishments. You were a model, an actress, producer, you know, social activist, philanthropist. So your the list of accomplishments goes on and on. So for those here today who don't really know a lot about you, it would be great if you can share a little bit about your journey with us and what you're currently working on.
Absolutely. First of all, what an honor it is to be here. You have an amazing team and so grateful that we were all connected. You guys are doing incredible work. So thank you for having me. I have been, I'm from Buffalo, New York. I'm from back east. I started off really being engaged in my community. And by happenstance, on one of my jobs, I met Jim, who was bringing this amazing curriculum, which taught life skills to our community. And as a community member and someone who always volunteered and done a lot of charity, this was a little bit different. And it was very intriguing because this was about change. And so I fell in love with the philosophy and the movement of really transforming lives. And what better way to do that than to be in the headquarters of, and the heart of it all here in Los Angeles, California. So, you know, it's been about 26 years that I've been on this journey. And what I really, it's been transformative, not only in my life, but in tens of thousands of individuals who've had the opportunity to go through our program.
Great. For those of you who missed it, her husband is the NFL Hall of Famer, Jim Brown. So, you know, amazing, amazing story there. So, you know, you sit on the board of Visionary Women, and their whole mission is to inspire and uplift women and girls. And so, again, as I mentioned, your list of philanthropic work is long. The question for the day is, what adjustments will you make as a leader heading into 2022?
You know, one thing that 2021 and a little 2020 taught us or taught me is the importance of resilience and being flexible. We've been teaching our program one way for many, many years. And due to COVID, unfortunately, as many businesses have had to do, is shift on the fly. And so the importance of thinking outside of the box and being able to grow. And now we're teaching virtually and also looking at other modules of reaching our audience that have allowed us the ability to scale on a much larger basis. So that would be one of the things. And I think secondly, you know, the importance of sisterhood. Visionary Women was the first real group, I have to say, that I felt like were my tribe. And it's an incredible group of dynamic women, all really doing great things. And many times as a businesswoman, as a leader, I'm in my lane and I'm kind of doing my day to day. I'm here, you know, working and in my space, and the importance of having a community around to champion you that you can build upon and support each other is critical, I think, going forward.
Great. When we last spoke, you talked a little bit about some of what your plans are around building brands for, you know, the American Foundation and other, you know, philanthropic work that you're doing. Can you share a little bit about that and what that journey has been like for you?
It's been incredible. It has been so much fun. You know, I've had the real privilege of being around some of the most amazing people in history. I mean, in one day, you can be from, you know, the highest level of government down to, like, you know, Crips and Bloods meeting in your living room. Like, it literally has been an incredible journey of people. And I think what it really comes down to for me is knowing that I've been very blessed, and understanding the context of history and those stories. For me, it's about sharing those things. And so that ironically got me into filmmaking. And so being able to kind of see that there are stories that need to be told as a part of our history and culture of America as Black Americans that are critical, you know, for the future generations. So to go back to the question, I hope I answered it properly. That's what I would say has been one of the biggest changes.
Yeah, it's interesting because I love the Maya Angelou quote. I come as one, but I stand as 10,000. And yeah. We literally have hundreds of other people whose shoulders, you know, we stand on. And so I think the work that you do in your philanthropic work is really important to that movement, and being there for people and being there for communities and providing resources for them. So that is really, I applaud you for that. I'm right there with you every step of the way, Monique. Just thinking about, you know, your wife, your mother, you have a very, very full plate, to say the least.
Yeah, to say the least.
To say the least. Can you share two pieces of career planning advice that helped you in your journey with us today?
One is, in my work, understanding the difference between charity and change. I think that's one thing. To create change that's sustainable has to really start with a mindset. And so, you know, that's one thing, so that I'm on course. Also, to trust myself. I wouldn't say I have this as career planning advice. This is more of my intuition and my spirit, what I've learned. Is the importance of trusting myself in many different facets of my business, whether it's building the Jim Brown brand, or, you know, whether it's working with various government officials and or digitizing our curriculum and AI and our avatars. I mean, it's all of these things that you kind of know what feels right, what is right. And I've been making a lot of these different moves that I'm not even in the area, but things that I'm not familiar with, to kind of get the people that are the experts in those areas. And I would say that's one of the things that's important, is I don't have to know it all, but I can get my team, and I want my team to know more than I do in their various capacities. So the importance of a team and having really the top people representing your organization and the growth, but also a team is like a family, so it has to feel good. You know, it's very important that it's organic. I don't really try to build my team superficially. I really try to let it kind of be led by purpose. And I found that that's been my strength, I think, over the years.
That's great. Lead with purpose. I agree with you. Sometimes people try too hard. And Gary talks about this all the time. Like, lead with empathy and humility. All of that comes together naturally. It's not forced. Mm-hmm. Pretty organic. So last question I have for you, surprise question, is tell us what you're doing for you. Like, in your downtime, you have such a busy schedule. What are you doing to help maintain your own mental well-being in your life?
You know, it's so interesting you'd ask that, because it's a unique time for both Jim and I as empty nesters. Both of our kids are in college now. And so it's that question of, wow, I'm re-identifying like myself. I'm re kind of branding, I guess. I don't even know if that's the word, but I'm learning who I am outside of being a mother. And so that's been very exciting, to kind of say, oh, I've got this time on the weekend. I'm not soccer mom, or I'm not having to like travel out of state or do anything with them. So it's really a great time to just enjoy getting back into my passions. I love to sing. I sing, probably some more creative things that are outlets for me, you know, working on film and, you know, being in films. But I also feel that it's important to maintain the balance with my spirit and my faith. I love to roller skate. I love to go to church. And, you know, I guess I'll be doing those things a lot more with my friends and, you know, people that care about me.
Great stuff. Me time as empty nester. I am right there with you. Monique, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That was just gorgeous. Thanks to you both. Thank you, Monique.
Thank you. So
I'm right in there with as an empty nester as well. Let's go. Thank you. Next up, we welcome the CEO of Gallery Media Group, Ryan Harwood. He is going to kick off a series of interviews today. Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
We're good. We're super fired up to have you paired with Allegra O'Hare, first off, who is the CMO of Tommy Hilfiger Global.
Hi, everyone.
Amsterdam, right, Allegra?
Yeah, I'm in Amsterdam. It's cocktail hour over here. So
Let's bring it on.
Oh, sure. Hey, Ryan, we like the same color, I see.
Indeed. Thanks for joining us today.
We love your background. We love the fact that you're such a globetrotter. We know that you also, you hail from Gap as the CMO there, and prior to that from Adidas.
Yeah, 12 years.
I wanted to celebrate a little something that you shared with us, that you like to do something that scares you every day.
Yeah.
Can you hear a little bit more about that?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's great. And I was just listening to the panelists and I was taking notes like, oh, I got to think about this. My brain's always on fire. And do something that scares you every day is my motto. And it goes from like little things like picking up the phone and maybe calling somebody you're like, really don't want to talk to that person. And you know you have to, but you could put it off. And so I think these things, the courage just starts building and building. And it can be a huge thing and a small thing, but it's something I keep an awareness of every time. I'm like, why am I scared about it? And, you know, I always say fear is a liar. So for me, that's something that's always in the back of my mind in everything that I do.
That's fantastic. Well, there's been that steady thread about fear. So I'll let you guys take it from here.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea. Hi, Allegra.
Hi.
I love that fear is a liar. I've never heard that before. That's very cool. I'm going to use that. So the topic today for Marketing for the Now is what adjustments will you make as a leader heading into 2022? So, you know, to kick it off, as we reflect back on 2021 and what's ahead of us, I'd love to hear from you. What have you learned about how to be a better leader from the last year or so?
Yeah, everybody really talked a lot about empathy, which I totally relate to. People want to work for people, right? And I think until now, we did not realize that and how you have to be an empathetic leader. But one more thing that for me is really important is gratitude, right? And I think coming from COVID, we just became grateful for all of these things that we really took for granted. And I think if we can cherish that as we move ahead, whether it's work related, whether it's personal, I think it can really make you into a better leader. So having that awareness that, yeah, and everything is just not for free, right? And you earn things and you work hard for them and you work with great people and just be grateful for that every day. And, you know, when I meditate, because I try to meditate every day, I also do the, you know, gratitude meditation, which really helps me just refocus my energy and just, again, be grateful for what I have. So I'm trying to take that into leadership, into everything that I do. And I think it just strengthens me as a leader and helps me connect also authentically with the teams. So it's something that I'm very aware of.
100%. I have a little note on the side of my desk every morning that says, if everyone I love is healthy and alive right now, things are pretty damn good. So yeah. I agree, gratitude is very important. And you know, as you head into 2022, how are you thinking about some of the challenges you might face from a business perspective? What are some of those challenges that you can share with us?
Yeah, we always talk about the differences, but there's also some consistencies with before. And one of the things that I'm always aware of is stick to the plan, right? So I think, you know, we talked about resilience and how to be able to pivot quickly. But then when you pivot and you have that plan, really stick to it and try not to pivot too much. So I think that that's something that I really want to take with me into next year. It's easier said than done. I think anybody working in marketing knows that's not easy. I was listening to panelists before. It's like, we're always like, oh, great idea. We should do it. We should try it. But is it a priority? Is it going to drive the brand? Is it going to drive the business? So to really, you know, have it kind of funneled into the plan, long-term plan, I think is really important.
Absolutely. And you know, as a marketer, how do you personally keep a pulse on culture to remain relevant? And you know, yourself as an overall marketer, but in your category specifically as well.
That was a great question because I thought about it a lot. I do some things personally. I listen to the Harbinger show. For me, that's super interesting because it's a lot of fascinating people from all walks of culture that just really talk about their experiences. So that helps me stay at the pulse of culture. But also I think it's really important to surround yourself with what we call, you know, cultural pioneers that can come from all walks of life that really keep challenging your thinking, right? Because if you become like monotone in your thinking, especially in marketing, you're not at the pulse of culture. You're not leading from the front. So to have people that, regardless of your status in the company, so I'm the CMO, I still want to be challenged. I still want to hear different opinions. So if you have those people surround you, kind of like bounce off ideas, but more as a resource to what you're doing, I think really helps you be at the forefront of culture for sure.
Yeah, and talking about culture, you know, Tommy, when I think about Tommy, Tommy was one of the first designers and brands to connect to culture from the beginning. It's always had a really authentic connection way before it was a trend and culture was a buzzword. Explain to me how that plays a role in how you think about marketing now that you're at the helm of this company.
You said the word that I think is really critically important is authentic, right? And I think nowadays with any brand, authenticity, integrity, and purpose really drive the brands that are at the forefront of culture, but also all the industries and businesses. So I think that that was one of the strengths together with, you know, curiosity and generosity that really are the values of the brand. But that authenticity, regardless of, you know, what you're doing, but also for leadership, I think is so important, right? For example, myself, I'm always like, hey, I don't know everything. And there's something really interesting there about leaders who know everything and leaders that learn and keep on learning. And I think that that keep on learning and keep on challenging yourself is really critically important as we move ahead into next year and, you know, try to bring forth all of our marketing plans, but we got to keep on learning. We will make mistakes, but, you know, fail fast and learn and move ahead and learn from your mistakes. So I think that that's really important and that it links back to authenticity. And I think that that's critically important also for leadership.
Do you think being on the pulse of pop culture as a brand historically and being known for that, do you have a sense of how that might evolve going into 2022 at all? Is that something you can share?
I can't share much, but I can say it's going to be really a lot of fun and unexpected. We've got a lot of plans coming up that we are all very excited about. And that'll help, you know, drive connectivity with consumers. You know, we're always talking about does the consumer care? Are they, you know, aware of what we're doing? And to bring the consumer at the forefront of everything that we do, I think is really important. In one of my past experiences, a CEO had a great idea. And in the boardroom, there was this red chair. And nobody was allowed to sit in the red chair. There were no explanations to it until one day. It's like the red chair is the consumer. And wow. So, you know, everything that you do, it's like, look at that red chair. And we tend to get lost sometimes in our internal thinking. But if it really matters to the consumer, you know, let's push forward and do that. And that's something that's stuck with me is keep thinking about the consumer and what's important to them, especially in this time where the fashion industry is really changing a lot. You know, we don't want to waste as much as we did. We want to have that integrity and that purpose with regards to the brand. So those things really shifted a lot over the past 3 to 5 years.
All right, we got about 30 seconds left. So we're going to do a series of questions. Let's get to know Allegra O'Hare. Here we go.
All right.
80s movies or 80s music?
80s music.
Almond milk or oat milk?
Neither.
Tennis or golf?
Tennis.
I love you for that. Instagram or TikTok?
Instagram.
HBO or Netflix?
Netflix, but not Narcos Series 4, because that was a little bit disappointing, I have to say.
Last one, Friends or Seinfeld?
Friends.
Allegra, thank you so much for joining
us.
That
was great.
That was fantastic, you guys. Thank you so much. Bye. Thank you, Allegra. All right, next up, we welcome Yasmin Dasmalchi. She's the GM of NYX Professional Makeup USA.
Hello, how are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you guys. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Yasmin. So happy you are here with us today. Thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure listening to all of these amazing panelists.
I wanted to share one inspirational thing that Yasmin has shared with us, which is the best advice that she's ever gotten, which is never let go of your values. And it sounds like it gives you a little bit of a heartbeat every day when you wake up. So just wanted to celebrate that.
Thank you. Yeah. No, definitely a piece of me every day. I wake up, I tell the team, I walk in, I say, hello, sunshine. So I try to stick to who I am. And it's definitely driven me for sure.
I love it. There's a North Star. It always brings you back to your North Star, no matter what ebbs and flows throughout the career, right?
Absolutely.
I love it. Well, thank you for being here today. Let's dive right in. I want to kick it off with learning a little bit about you on how, what fuels your learning and inspiration. Are there any sources you go to, podcasts, authors, platforms? How do you stay on the pulse?
Well, you know, I work for NYX Professional Makeup, and makeup is a revolving door, I think. So you've got to move fast.
Yes.
I think, you know, when I think about what really fuels me, the first thing, and I think a lot of the panelists talked about it, is the team. I surround myself with really inspirational team members, and they are always telling me what the hottest new thing is, what the latest drop is, what's the newest news in social. And I think that for me, they're my first source of inspiration. I think the second thing, and I think, you know, you've heard it a couple of times, is the community, is our consumers. I'm constantly, and I don't know, is reading ratings and reviews, like reading Reddit, like reading things that are truly authentic to what like people think. Yeah. And I think that that's a super critical thing, not just about my brand, but other brands outside of the industry, like fashion or even finance. Like today's world is insane.
Yes.
And I think as a leader, you know, I think we can talk about things like Brené Brown. I mean, I'm super fascinated by this idea of building a courageous culture, because I think we're dealing with some really nuanced, you know, Gen Zers versus millennial versus, you know, like your Gen X, and everybody wants something different. But in common, we need to build purpose. We need to build culture.
Absolutely.
So those are some things for sure that fuel me.
Making it a safe environment, not one driven by fear, so that they can speak up. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
And you know, speaking about that, if you are driven by your team and they are the ones helping you stay on the pulse, you know, when you are looking to hire, are there any unique qualities you look for or that you screen against specifically to build such a strong team?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. You know, when I interview, the first thing I do is I tell them I don't need your resume. So I have a lot of HR people that have interviewed you like two or three prior to even getting to me and other team members. So at that point, I think pen to paper, like irrelevant. I think the second, so I always look at that, and I kind of look at their reaction. They kind of look at me like, what is she doing? And then I would say like the second thing really is this, I'm looking for openness and honesty. Like we need people that are truly agile and willing to react. And I think that that's an example of being able to surprise someone. And I know that might, and see if they're like kind of can go with the flow. And then I would say curiosity. I mean, the reality is we need people who want to learn. I want to learn. I don't know everything, the same as Allegra. Like, and so for me, it's like, if you want to learn, it means you can only get better in the future and challenge each other and challenge ourselves. So yeah. Those are two things I truly look for. But I always start with a surprise and delight to see how they react.
I like that. I like it. How do you think consumers' attitudes towards beauty have changed during the pandemic? How has NYX adapted to these changes? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think there are two things, right? I think people spend a lot of time getting to know brands. And we all know that brands, people are sticking to brands they can connect with, you know, in terms of values. So, you know, outside of people, you know, during, you know, the last years getting to know themselves at a deeper level, wanting something that's more relevant to what they need. I would say, you know, first and foremost, the diversity element, the need to create something that's very specific to a consumer's specific needs, and then usage. I mean, it's simple. In beauty, people have become, you know, let's say different looks, no makeup, makeup. So, you know, for us at NYX, it's really been about making sure that we understand our communities and the nuances within them and being able to deliver the product, the right content at the right time. And now it's shifting again, by the way, you know, like Halloween was crazy. People are back out, makeup is full force. And so like, we just have to be ready to shift, with the different needs. So it's changing. So it's changed during the pandemic, but it's changing again now. Yeah.
One thing that caught my eye was you guys did that awesome collaboration with Netflix's Money Heist. I'm a huge fan of that show. Yeah. Obviously super relevant. So tell us about that. How did it come about? What was the limited edition like? All about it.
Well, it's happening today. So we call it Casa Day. It's also, 11-11, so Singles Day. We are partners with Netflix. So this is our third collaboration with Netflix, and this is one of our largest. As you said, Ryan, it's a international phenomenon. So this collaboration really came to be because we really worked with the teams at Netflix to really design a limited edition like collection that's inspired by each of the characters. And we're bringing to life this collaboration at Ulta, dropping today. But what's even more exciting is how we're kind of connecting. So we're connecting with the super fans of the show in a big way, doing a TikTok challenge to kind of create the next Dolly mask. We have tons of content and AR inspiration that you'll see on Snapchat in the next few weeks. But it came to life partnering with Netflix and partnering with creating something around this last season that's super relevant to the show. So you'll see lipsticks inspired by Nairobi and Tokyo. Nice. You'll see a lot of heist. So, for those of you that are interested, join the heist because there'll be a lot of breaking of bolts and, stealing the bolts.
I think brand collabs like this are the new PR. It's the new way to get earned media and stay relevant, et cetera. I think it's the new traditional PR, so to say. So kudos to you guys. And then, as you going back to the leader topic for a second, as we reflect back on 21, what have you learned about how to be a better leader from the last year or so?
Yeah, I love this question because, 2021, I walked into this year, I don't know if anyone else did, thinking that things could get back to somewhat of a normal state. But the reality is, it is a completely new normal. So I had to figure out personally, like how to navigate what that was with the team, rebuild relationships because we were somewhat disconnected through screens. And so how do I shake someone's hand? How do I say hello to them? And then, hybrid, like I think we all have to figure out what that means. But for me, I think you've heard it a few times, authenticity. So the first is making sure that as we say we wanna lead with purpose, that we're walking the walk, talking the talk, and that we're people first. And thinking about what they need because there's no business without the people. So,
absolutely. I love it. Okay, we're going to go to our speed round of questions here. Okay, let's get to know Yasmin. I change up the speed round of questions so we don't hear all the same ones, but these are fun. Here we go. Pizza or pasta?
Pizza.
New York or LA?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I lived in both. LA.
What? All right, Michael Jackson or Madonna?
Oh, Madonna, please.
Pancakes or French toast?
French toast, always.
Ocean or pool?
Pool.
Brad Pitt or George Clooney?
George Clooney.
Yes. Sexy. Instagram or TikTok?
TikTok.
Let's go. All right, Yasmin, thank you so very much for joining us today. This was a blast.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
That was fantastic. And I love that lip shade. I got to find out what that was. Figure that out later. All right. Last but definitely not least, we have Jamie Gersh, who is the SVP and CMO of Old Navy. Jamie oversees Old Navy's marketing, global marketing team, and is responsible for growing brand love. She lives by stay hungry and stay humble. Take it away, you guys.
Awesome. Hi. Hi, Jamie.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. It's been so fun to watch everyone.
Yes, indeed. And I'm even more excited to talk to you knowing that we actually grew up in the same area now. We just figured that out. So I am very, very thrilled about
it. It's amazing. Such a small world. I mean, I've lived in California for over 20 years, but you can't take New York out of me.
You cannot. Thank you for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here.
All right, let's dive right in. One question I wanted to ask you is going back to the leader topic here. what things are you going to start doing as a leader or as a marketing team as you look to 22? And what are some things you might stop doing that you've learned over the past couple of years?
Yeah. Well, we've learned a ton and I've learned a ton personally. So, you know, if I dive deep and say, what have we learned and what are we looking forward to? You know, we listening to the customer, we always listen to the customer, but I think once we really understood the importance of what customers needed and wanted at the start of COVID and how that deepened and changed over the, you know, the course of COVID and even now, it made us realize some things about ourselves. We have always been super philanthropic as a company. I don't know how many of you know, but Gap Inc. was started by Don and Doris Fisher in 1969. And from day one, they gave back. And honestly, we've been pretty humble about how much we've given back over the years. And what we realized was we were actually a little too humble. And if you think about Old Navy, in 1994, we started our original manifesto and the original purpose of the brand was democracy of style, believing in inclusivity from a socioeconomic perspective. We never talked about it like that, but it is at such the core of what we do is this idea of believing that everyone should have equal access to amazing product at a great price. And that like unlock of we need to talk more about the core values and what we stand for as a brand and the giving back component. And so, you know, we've done a ton over the last 2 years of listening, really doubling down on the efforts that we're taking and being more overt about telling customers and our employees, honestly, about our connection to our job opportunity program, how deeply we are connected to our inclusivity commitments that we've always had and that we've, you know, made go forward, our sustainability commitments. I mean, at our scale, what we can do in terms of how to make our product better and thereby change the environment, I mean, huge opportunity. And so when I think about, you know, looking back, I think about bot equality. And what we learned was when we started, so bot equality was our size inclusivity initiative from, you know, last year. We started that initiative and talking to customers 3 years ago. And actually, even in the course of 3 years, when we went back out and talked to them during COVID, when we were about to launch, you know, a year in, it completely changed because of what was going on in America. And it really showed you the importance of constantly listening and talking to customers about what matters to them now and really staying close to, as a brand, what matters to you and connecting to that. So really understanding that impact on changes in culture and the communities that our customers live in, and how do we make sure we stay connected, listen, learn, and react ongoing, I think will stick with us go forward.
Yes. You know, one of the things, last time I came to visit you in the Bay Area, one of the things that really stood out to me was in that headquarters, in the main lobby, you guys had have all of those consumer comments. And you mentioned listening to consumers quite a bit in what you just said in your answer. Just tell the audience for a second, like what Old Navy has there in the lobby, because I was blown away by it. I thought it was very cool and very self-aware of the company. So tell everybody about that.
So you walk into Old Navy and of course the music is blaring and it's fun and it has the upbeat personality and the wink that we should have. But most importantly, it has a ticker, like almost like a stock ticker on the top like portion of the walls that literally have customer comments. And we live and die by them every single day. It was good and bad. And so you can't walk into the building without listening to the customer. And I think that unlock of just having it so visual and multimedia, right? It's so engaging because it's just like keeps scrolling through all the different comments. And every single employee there, you know, gets connected to what is the customer saying about the brand, our products, our services, everything. And so, you know, it really forces you to do that. But then in COVID, it was like, okay, we're not seeing that every day. Sure. How do we make sure that we don't lose that connection? And I think that's where we got deeper in a much more connected emotionally to the customer about what are the values they care about and what is super meaningful to us and always has been meaningful, but we just haven't, you know, screamed about it.
I love it. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we do reflect back on what's transpired in 21, what's ahead of us, what have you learned how to be a better leader from the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've learned a ton. The list is endless, but I think, you know, I heard Allegra, who, you know, I used to work with, so great to see her. She talked about gratitude. I couldn't agree more. And I think empathy, like I can't emphasize enough the importance of really feeling connected and empathetic to what each individual is going through, whether that's your customers, your employees, and really making sure it's not a one size fits all model, and understanding, you know, what are your team, what are team members going through, and how to react differently, and how to make different decisions and stay agile based on how people are feeling in the moment, because it has been such a fragile environment for customers and employees. And I think that empathy and staying connected, you know, has really grounded me and will, and I think it's a forever change personally for me in a good way.
There's a lot of folks in the audience that are either trying to get into the marketing industry or senior marketers or brand managers. And, you know, hearing from someone like yourself, I think they'd love to understand, what advice would you give to someone coming onto a retail marketing team or any marketing team?
Yeah. Connectedness. Like, I can't stress it enough. I mean, we're out top, like I'm in stores probably at least every other week, if not every week, like visiting stores. And that connects you to the brand. It connects you to your customers. It connects you to the brand associates that frankly are your brand ambassadors, and talking to customers and representing the brand every day. And not only that, you're connected to the communities that you serve, right? And so you are in it. And so we drive, we fly, we do everything possible to get out there. And I think that connectedness really helps keep you grounded. And, you know, I can't stress enough, you learn exactly how people feel about the brand when you sit there in a store and just watch customers, you know, for 10 minutes even. Like, it doesn't take long. And talk to a sales associate who is in it every single day with your product, with your customer. So I think connectedness is the number one. And then I'd say the community piece, you know, really understanding what matters in the communities you serve and the customers your customers live in. And so we've learned over time what matters to them, and what matters to them is job opportunities. And we have a really clear way of helping in that, right? There's huge opportunities in America to address economic mobility. And we've really developed a job opportunity program that goes against that, knowing how important it is to our customers, and knowing that it's always been a huge value of ours to not only provide first jobs, but how do we really develop and provide career mentorship and leadership development to grow people and make sure that inclusivity starts from the opportunities that people are given. And we take that to heart. And so, you know, we have a goal out there of 20,000 jobs by 2025 to young adults through our This Way Onward program. And it's super meaningful to me. And you go and talk to these alumni, and what the program has given them and the opportunities is incredible. And then we started to tell those stories. So we had partnered with Magic Johnson back in the spring, and he interviewed three of the alums and surprised them in a store. And it was incredible. I mean, these employees, you know, from the Bronx and Brooklyn and Queens, they all were from there, and surprised by Magic to tell their story, and tears. I mean, Kleenex coming out, like you couldn't get enough of, like, the tears just streaming, because the impact that the program has, and then really understanding how important it is to stay connected, goes such a long way.
Yeah. Well, these go way too quick. I never get to ask all the questions I want to ask, but I want to go into the speed round because I want everyone to get to know Jamie Gersh, and then we will wrap up here. Salty or sweet?
Sweet.
San Francisco or New York? Be careful.
Oh God, that one's a tough one. I'm going to say I left my heart in San Francisco, right? But I'll always be a New Yorker. Always.
Let's go. Almond milk or oat milk?
Neither. Half and half.
80s or 90s music?
80s.
Bradley Cooper or Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, wow. That is a tough one. Bradley.
Interesting. Beach or mountains?
Beach.
Morning person or night person?
Morning. Definitely morning.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee all the way.
Last one, cilantro or no cilantro?
No cilantro. Ever. No, not good.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jamie. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Good to see you.
That was fantastic. Thank you, Ryan. You're the best. I love those lightning rounds. Oh my goodness. I can't believe we're already at the close of the show, but we've got another one coming up on December 16th from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time, where we're going to dive into the single question, which is, what were your biggest challenges and victories of 2021? We've got a great lineup of speakers from brands including Number 7 Beauty Company, 7-Eleven, Tinder, Kroger, Gatorade, and an actor, a surprise guest. So please keep the conversation going, hashtag marketing for the now, and check out what's going on at mftnvaynerx.com and our upcoming episodes. And we hope to see you really soon. Thanks for joining us.